The scripture lesson this morning comes from Colossians. I'll get this in a second. Stay there. The scripture lesson this morning comes from Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 6. Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray for us as well, that God will open to us a door for the word, that we may declare the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains, so that I may reveal it clearly as I should. Be careful in the way and you treat others and outsiders, and make the most of every opportunity. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer everyone. Father God, I pray that we will be open to opportunities, that we will see your love surrounding us, and that our love towards others would be an extension of your perfect love for us, that we would see a call to those around us in our everyday lives and at every opportunity. In your name I pray, amen. After 2.5 months in Ecuador, there's 1,000 stories that I could have told you. And if I were in Quito and I got to preach at a several hours long service of mostly sermon, then maybe I'd actually get a fraction of that relayed and you'd all be totally asleep. I actually took most of my 3 weeks or so notice about preaching today just to sort through a summer of memories and experiences with God to figure out what it was exactly that I wanted to say. And I'll try not to hit too much at once, but I'll try not to leave anything important out either, because while I'll never be able to get across a small percentage of my growth since May in the next few minutes, I do want to focus on the opportunity around us each day that we can take advantage of, whether in Quito, Ecuador, or in Elizabeth City, North Carolina. So first, a little background on my summer. My official job title this summer was a Quito Quest host. What I signed up to do and what that meant was that I hosted the short-term teams that came all summer through Youth World for their entire stay and their missionary journey, whether that was taking care of their food and their housing and all the background things, or actually helping be a leader or helping in their ministry and trying to help the teams process their whole experience and take it back home. I was expecting to lead around a lot of wide-eyed gringo groups, and I was expecting to visit a lot of different ministry sites over the course of my time there. I didn't expect to have the chance to spend 8 days in the middle of the jungle with the other hosts, the other interns. We found out about midway through our first week and a half of training at the beginning of the summer that we'd be getting to go out to Tonopah for the first of the 4 blocks of the summer instead of hosting a team. Tonopah is a community of the Warani tribe. It's in fact the same community from which the Warani men came that killed the 5 missionaries in January 1956. It's changed a lot since when Jim Elliott, Nate Saint, Roger Udaren, Ed McCulley, and Pete Fleming were first there trying to connect with the Warani culture, but it's still so deep in the jungle that you have to fly in from Shell or Arahuna or another city in the jungle region in a 6-seater, 900-pound capacity, tiny little plane. And you have to fly in just to reach it if you don't want to walk for 2 days through a jungle hike through nothing but mud. I was also a little bit surprised when I found out that Fabian would be going with us. Pastor Fabian Erazo is the head of a church in Quito, and it's named for the surrounding neighborhood of Carmen Bajo, which is one of the poorest areas in the capital city. All I knew of Pastor Fabian at that point was that he was this soft-spoken man and that he had left a more wealthy area in North Quito to come to Carmen Bajo to serve the people there. I also knew he was very popular with the missionaries at Youth World, and I found out why over the course of our 8 days in the jungle. The jungle group consisted of the 12 interns, the 10 hosts, and our leaders, the maestros, this Ecuadorian pastor, Fabian, and our leader, Chet, the director of Youth World's adventure teams that do things like this, going out to the jungle, to Warani communities all the time. We would meet up with Palabra de Vida, an Ecuadorian missions group that they do dramas and music in Quito, but also for Warani communities out in the jungle all the time. Vacation Bible schools and programs for them. So we all set out Monday morning, headed to Shell, where we thought that we were going to be flying into Tonyampari. It turned out that there was not enough aircraft fuel. It was all tied up in customs, and we actually thought we were going to have to take that 2-day hike into the jungle. Thankfully, God provided, and we were able to travel 2 more hours by bus, a little closer to Arahuno, a shorter distance from Tonyampari. And Arahuno was the first place that I saw Pastor Fabian really in his element. We waited all Tuesday morning for that plane. The weather wasn't looking great, and the pilots fly by sight. They have to have clear weather and daylight to be able to fly, and they'd have to have enough time to fly from Shell to Arahuno and pick us up and take us all in 3 trips into the jungle and get back before dark. So we weren't even sure if the planes were ever going to show up, and we just sat around that morning waiting and waiting. And at first it was a pretty boring wait, sitting across from the landing field in the outside covered gymnasium of the local high school. But as kids began to come to school there and come out for their PE class in the gym, we actually began to play with them. It was a couple of small groups that blossomed into a kids versus gringos basketball game. And Fabian joined in himself. I sat on the sidelines and played guitar with some interested onlookers, and I noticed Fabian, by far the oldest person on the court, just pouring himself into the game, running and breathing hard and sweating and taking some long shots down the court over the kids' heads. And as the game wound to a close, he actually snuck off from the game. He and a couple of others slipped off down the street and came back a few minutes later with several 3-liter bottles of soda. So a little curious, the other interns and I sort of joined in the group as Fabian just called us into a circle and began to speak. Chet translated bits and pieces for us and explained to us that Fabian was taking the chance to talk to these high school kids that we'd been playing basketball with. He wanted to take the opportunity that God had given us to get to know them, to give them a chance to hear the gospel. He decided that that might be the only chance that we got to share with these kids, and maybe their only opportunity to hear it. So after a short message and a long prayer, he poured cups of soda and passed them around the circle, all with almost a sense of Holy Communion to it. Just sharing the love of Christ with these kids that we'd never met and might not ever see again. When it was all over, though, I honestly didn't really think about it for for several days at least until I had gotten to know Fabian better. So another long story short, we finally had planes arrive and were able to make it into Tonyampati that afternoon. We were greeted by Wadani kids and a few adults who run out to the landing strip when they hear the sound of the airplane engines over the murmur of the Oriente, the jungle. And we started to set up shop there to prepare for the VBS that we'd be doing for the Warani community and to get to know the members of Palabra de Vida, the other missions group, and to get to know our week-long partners there and to sort of understand our jobs for the week. My pareja, my partner, Sarah, and I happened to be the two interns in charge that day, and the two of us were responsible to assign jobs to all of the Youth World crew, the interns and Chet and Fabian. So among the kitchen crew that Sarah and I decided on for the week were myself and Fabian. Now, as the VBS got going and the week progressed, we had to wake up extremely early each morning. The Warani rise and set with the sun, and Palabra de Vida's VBS was no different. With kids ready for breakfast at 7 o'clock in the morning every day, we had to have all the food cooked and prepared and the eating area set up at an hour that we just were not happy to see. And each morning the roosters would start crowing at about 4 o'clock in the morning. We'd all have rolled around a little bit before then and kind of semi-conscious, dreading the wake-up call. And at 5:45 or so, we'd hear Chet whisper Brian's name. And that meant, wake everybody up, Mr. Maestro. But Brian would walk around quietly, just respectfully, poking his heads into all our mosquito nets, saying, wake up, Danny. Wake up, Jerry. Wake up, Teddy. But honestly, I don't know why he bothered, because at that point, we'd already been just bolted to life by Fabian's voice. Aside from the roosters, it was nearly silent in the morning, so with no other noise around, anything sounds 10 times louder. And at seemingly eardrum-shattering levels, Fabian would belt out songs the second he woke up, our favorite of which went, it began, Buenos dias, Señor Jesus! And that's how we woke up every single morning for 7 days straight. Lane and I were usually the first two interns that were up and out from under our mosquito nets in the morning, and after Brian's whispers and Fabian's shouts had gotten us up. And we might have looked pretty functional as we changed from one of our sets of clothes to the other set of clothes that we had, and put on sunscreen and bug spray and rubber boots. But truth be told, that whole time we were getting ready, we were just zombies, and we were praying that Chet or Brian would tell us, just kidding, go back to sleep for an hour or five. But all the while we were wishing to be back in bed, Fabian would be just dancing around, belting out Ecuadorian children's songs, grinning, getting ready for the day, and trying to get us to be awake and to smile or say something in a language other than grunts. And I never truly recognized this at the time, but Fabian embodied, even through his obnoxious wake-up call, just the attitude that we needed for our day and for our work and for our relationships with God. He worked with us every single day, sweaty and exhausted in the kitchen, just like us. And he might disappear for a little while and we wouldn't see him, but he was actually just finding other projects, taking every opportunity he could, finding something else to work on. And he got up at the same ridiculously early hour that we did. And he went to bed at the end of the same energy-draining day that we did. And yet, not only was he enthusiastic throughout all of that, even the second that he woke up, but he was focused on God. Buenos dias, Señor Jesús. He greeted the Lord with enthusiasm before he'd even gotten up, gotten out of his bed and out from under his mosquito net in the morning. We could hear the enjoyment of his song in his voice. The girls could hear it across the field. Yet what I didn't even consider until weeks later was that he wasn't just excited to be despertar o cantar, waking up or singing. He was excited about Jesus. He was greeting not just another sunrise that we wouldn't even see for another 3 hours, but he was greeting an opportunity to serve the Lord by serving his people. He was uncontrollably happy to be headed off to a day of devotions and service and community with other believers and people who maybe just needed the push of his enthusiasm to be believers. Now, I'm not saying that the other interns and I, the 12 hosts, were just totally unexcited about our jobs or that we didn't recognize the real reason that we were there. I could tell you stories all day long about Jerry or Brian or Dana or Nicole or any of the group that were there and just their faith and God working through them and around them. But Fabian was the most obvious example of someone who got it and who lived it. And although we were somewhere that was somewhere he had never been either, he was much more at home in a sense than us, simply because he spoke Spanish. So he could communicate with the younger generations of Guarani and with the members of Palabra de Vida and with those kids at the high school. But while we looked at that as an advantage, one of my team members much later in the summer said, "I don't know if I'd want to do this at home. They understand me there." Yet Fabian was perfectly willing to put himself out there, excited even, to share the gospel with high school kids he'd never met, simply because it might be their and our only opportunity to do that and to share such an expression of God's love. And although he was also away from the comforts of his home and the city life in Quito just as much as we were, he faced each day with optimism. He saw it as a new opportunity to minister to God's people. We played basketball with those kids in Arajuno, and he gave them a message. We grudgingly dragged ourselves out of bed each morning in Tonium Pati, and he sprang to life singing God's praises. We worked in the kitchen evening out the floor, the dirt floor, one day, and Fabian took over a week just spending time reconstructing the wooden benches so they wouldn't put ruts in that dirt floor. We washed dishes for a couple hours after every meal for 250 people, and Fabian spent further time after that boiling all the spoons in a cooking pot just out of concern for all the kids there at the VBS. Everything that he did just as we're commanded in Colossians: be wise in the way that you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. In fact, it was probably because of the fact that he didn't see anyone as outsiders that he was able to so effectively take advantage of every opportunity presented to him. He joined right in with our group of gringos, despite only being able to communicate with less than half of the group that spoke Spanish. He didn't see those basketball-playing high schoolers or the kids in Tonium Pati or the volunteers with Palabra de Vida as outsiders either, but children of God who needed to be ministered to be partnered with. And he certainly made the most of every opportunity, taking advantage of opportunities that we failed or chose not to even recognize, both in an environment that was foreign to him as it was to us, and in those places where we'd expect him to be totally at home. how many times do we meet somebody, even here at home, and see a new relationship as an opportunity to share God's word? If that thought even crossed most of our minds, myself included, we'd spend more time worrying that what someone would think of us if we asked them if they attended church, fearing we'd turn them away from us, rather than looking forward to the possibility of bringing them to the Lord. That's exactly how Fabian bears fruit, and how we should do the same. You don't have to go somewhere like the jungle of Ecuador to be able to see people around you who need to be loved. Those outsiders that Colossians says we should treat carefully don't have to be someone we serve in short-term missions, but in the missionary setting of our own everyday lives. And as for the other scripture of John 15, I get something different out of that every time that I read it. But until I applied it to Fabian, I always thought that part about loving one another was important, but it seemed a little out of place. But God's definition of fruit seems to go hand in hand with Paul's idea from Colossians about being wise how we treat others. Treating people with love, being excited about the opportunity of sharing with God's people is what's important. This is my command, love each other. After all that business before about remaining in the Lord and God remaining in us and the branches and the vine, it's as simple as that our love is an extension of Christ's perfect love for us. And that's what John 15:17 is all about. In fact, that's what missions is all about. But just like Fabian, we're on a mission each and every single day. And I hope my fruit comes from that same attitude of greeting each day as an opportunity to serve and to reach out with God's love. Buenos dias, Señor Jesus. Amen.